Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Jordan and team. And yes, we are here to glorify God and exalt Him, for that is who He is. I'm going to read the sermon text to you this morning first before we go to the message, and it's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, as we continue in this series of the Sermon on the Mountainside, where Jesus taught His disciples and the crowd of people who'd gathered in that beautiful setting on a hillside up above Lake Galilee. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 from the New Living Translation say this: "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." May God teach us through His holy word today. A long time ago, a young man went to the blacksmith shop in Shawville, Quebec. And while he was there, he heard another man explaining that God loved him, that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, and that Christ had taken the sins and the wrongdoings of humanity upon Himself and had died on the cross and then risen from the dead, and that this pistol-packing young man needed to give his life over to Christ as Lord, and he would be transformed, forgiven from his sins, and changed, and the Spirit of God would enter his life. And that young man believed in Christ that day, and he was transformed. This choice changes everything. And that young man much later became my grandfather. Years after that, another young man was working the field on his farm in southern Saskatchewan, and the local pastor happened to go by, and he walked out and talked to this young man and said, "Are you right with God?" And the young man knew he wasn't. The pastor explained to him that God had sent Christ, His Son, so that we could be right with God, that we could come into a relationship with the living God through faith in Christ, His Son, and that his sins could be forgiven, and he could start a new life, start again. And that young man believed in Christ, put his faith in Jesus, and his life was transformed. This choice changes everything. And years later, that young man became my father. Life-changing decisions happen in an instant. And this is what Jesus is describing in these verses that we've just read in Matthew chapter 7. Again, in verse 13, he said, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way." Make the decision. You don't accidentally stumble into the kingdom of God. You choose to enter it. Elsewhere, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Jesus called his followers to enter the kingdom in the present, with eternal consequences. It is something that we do by decision today. Jesus, up to this point, has been explaining in his sermon what the narrow way is. And we could rightly say that everything he has said up to this point in his message that day on the hillside was about obeying and believing in his message. The narrow gate is the way of faith and obedience with Jesus. And he revealed later a surprising implication of this truth. He said, "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins. Regardless of our past, regardless of where we've been, our decision to enter into life with Christ and obey and follow his message is the narrow gate. Jesus, as we're well aware, often encountered very religious teachers, skilled people in the law of Moses, the Pharisees. But they had fallen into the trap and come to believe that it was a matter of keeping their lists that made them right with God. They even gave a tenth of their garden herbs, but they neglected the central issues of the kingdom of God, faith and justice for people and mercy to people. And so Jesus often had this interaction with them where he countered what they were doing with the simplicity of obedience and faith. He summed up his own fulfilling of the law, saying this, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures." This choice changes everything in your life. How you encounter, or whether you encounter, the risen Christ Jesus as Lord. John Maxwell writes about fishing in a river. One day he was just trying to unclutter his mind, he said. He was out there relaxing, fly fishing, and he spotted a rather large rock in the middle of the river. And so at lunchtime, he decided to climb up on that rock and while there, enjoy the sun, soak in some rays. And he began to notice the grooves and contours on the rock that had been worn away there by years of waves and the water current rushing by and up against this stone. And seeing that prompted Maxwell to write, "Every time we make a decision, we cut a groove. Every time we react to a crisis, we cut a groove. When we hold our tongues and practice self-control, or when we let them run loose and speak our minds, we are carving our character. When we say yes or no to a reckless temptation, we are signing our names. When you stand up to peer pressure, hold the line on truth, or return kindness for cruelty, you are cutting the pattern of your character. And we have one all-important decision that changes everything, and that is whether or not we have decided to enter the narrow gate into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ the Lord. The only way, the only one who is worthy of the kingdom of God, but the one who invites us in through himself." And so the question for you today is, have you entered the kingdom of heaven through Christ? This decision will mark your life and your character above all others. But Jesus continued, "The gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Expect difficulty." Now, this road that doesn't acknowledge God appears easier because, in fact, it is. It's wider. It appears to have more options, and it's more crowded. One simple way to research this would be to look over a magazine stand in a drugstore or a bookstore and count the number of titles that you would have to eliminate if you were to take out all of those titles which encouraged or described sexual intimacy outside of a marriage covenant, or expanded on how to have the most beautiful body, or how to excel with wealth and leisure. How many would you have left? How many titles? The way to hell is well marked. The signage is amazing, actually. It's often seductive. It's always deceptive. It's never as advertised. This wide way is deceptive and easy, but there's only one gateway to life, and that is in Christ, who alone perfectly fulfills the will of God and invites us in through himself to follow in faith and obedience. And when we enter this most difficult way, we're entering into a way that might include persecution. In fact, the word we translate difficult here implies persecution. So it can be a lonely way. Some will determine that this way is just too difficult because it's difficult to be different. It can be lonely. Jesus said, God blesses you when people mock and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. And sometimes the persecution against Christ's disciples come from the religious establishment, come from very religious people. Sometimes professing Christians can be very hard on others who profess to believe. And so this way can be lonely when you want to follow Christ. But Jesus gave assurance to his disciples as he sent them out to announce the kingdom of God that they would never be alone, that he was always with them. He predicted that some might treat them horribly, but he assured that they would never be alone, that he would give them the right words to say at the right time. He says this, "For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So we may be lonely, but we are never alone because this choice changes everything. You come into the place where Christ has invited you into a living relationship with your Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit embarks on this journey, not just with you, but within you." McKnight tells us the story of Dr. Takashi Nagai, who was a doctor in Nagasaki, Japan during World War II. Dr. Nagai had converted from Buddhism to Jesus Christ. He was working, interestingly enough, at his radiology laboratory the day that the bomb exploded over Nagasaki. His wife, Midori, was at home. She was instantly burned beyond recognition and died and entered the presence of Christ. Just 3 months before the bomb exploded over Nagasaki, Dr. Nagai had been diagnosed with a radiation-induced leukemia. He had gone home that day and he had told Midori about the diagnosis. She left the dinner table, lit a couple of candles, and she knelt in prayer, and he knelt beside her. He noticed that her shoulders were shaking because of her grief. And when the initial horror of what she'd heard had subsided, she turned to him and she said, "We said before we married that if our lives are spent for the glory of God, then life and death are beautiful. You have given everything you had for work that was very, very important. It was for His glory." After the bomb, Dr. Nagai continued to work and serve and treat others at the risk of his own frail health as he carried on. And he wrote those words in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who weep," should be taken literally by doctors. A real doctor suffers with each patient. If the patient is frightened of dying, so is the doctor. Each patient becomes your brother, your sister, your mother, for whom you drop everything else. I've come to understand that medicine is a vocation, a personal call from God, which means that examining a patient, taking an X-ray, or giving an injection is part of the kingdom of God. When I realized that, I found myself praying for each patient I treated. Expect difficulty on this road. You are the message. If people cannot see the message of Christ through you and through me, then where are they going to see it? A few years ago, in a seminar or workshop led by Cam Roxborough, David Fitch, and Preston Poto and others, they described how we are now living in a post-attractional world. In other words, people aren't just coming to church anymore because it's what you do, COVID notwithstanding. Aside from that, by next week, when we come back together, some people will come to church because they missed it But many people won't because it's just not part of their life. They also said this is a post-authority world where people don't look to the church right now for moral wisdom. It's also a post-common language world. We can't assume that when we speak of Christ or his death and resurrection, everyone has some background that helps them know what we're talking about. And so you are the message. You and I are the message. And so they gave us these principles that are very helpful. They're on a slide for you. You are the message. Tell a real story about a real person, yourself, your own story of faith in Jesus Christ. Learn to ask good questions about what they think. Never try to humiliate or defeat another person. Win the friend instead of trying to win the argument. Start with agreement and move toward areas of disagreement and identify strongly with the other person in their humanity and their experience and reveal the absurdity of antagonism. Dr. Nagai was the message to the people around him in a very different society. It can be a difficult and lonely road. Our decision to enter into the kingdom of God is the choice that changes everything in our life and our experience. Expect difficulty there, but this choice changes everything. Jesus said, "The highway to hell is broad. The gateway to life is very narrow. Seize your destiny." The broad road is the default road, really. It's the one you can enter without thinking. The word we translate destruction or hell here means an eternal plunge into Hades and a hopeless destiny of death. The broad road is obvious. There's good signage along the way, as we've said. It's difficult to miss, even if you're not looking for it. So some will ask, well, why? And you may encounter this question, why would a loving God, why would this loving God of yours send people to hell? Answer, God sends no one to hell. You choose the road you want. You choose the road you want. God has instructed us through creation, through our own hearts and minds, that there are choices. And we are called and equipped to be the message and explain that way of Christ. The wide road looks easier in the short term because it is. And in the short term, some will decide this narrow way is too difficult and abandon it. Peter predicted that false teachers would come and deny the Christ who had bought them from death. He wrote, "Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality, and because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed." You see, this narrow way has social implications. And perhaps we ought to stop and just shudder at the implications for those who use residential schools to hurt or destroy the lives of young First Nations people in Canadian history. Predicting the judgment, Jesus said this, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Seize your destiny." One evening, a young man was listening to a fellow who played music on things that are not typically musical instruments. Sleigh bells, cowbells, the tops of wine glasses of varying sizes. and other things, out of which he created beautiful sounds. And after a while, he stopped doing this, and he began to speak, and he talked about how God loved people, how God had sent his son, Christ, who had come and had lived among us and taken up our sins on the cross when he died for all humanity, and how he had risen from the dead, and he offered life and forgiveness and a relationship with our Heavenly Father for all who would believe in him. And the young man listening to this was holding on to the seat ahead of him so tightly that his fingers were turning almost transparent. And finally he let go and he responded and said yes to the message of Christ. And that was a long time ago, and God is still changing me. What I want for you and for everyone that I know is this life-transforming encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God isn't finished reaching into people's lives. So if you're ever thinking that you're too far away or that your rejection of God has just gone too deep, or maybe you've been hurt so badly by religious people who missed the point of why Christ came, you need to know that he came for you. I pray that the same God who touched and reached that young man in Quebec and that young man in a field in Saskatchewan and that school-age kid would touch your life and everyone's life and the lives of those we love in a way that none of us can ignore or deny or put aside, that he would come, because this is the choice that changes everything. And if God has your name and your number, and he does, you can't ignore him when he keeps calling your name. Make the decision. Expect difficulty, but seize your destiny. This is the choice that changes everything. Let's take this moment as we pray. Perhaps you this morning are ready to make this decision. Maybe you've got the religious language down and you've been part of church for a long time, but you've never really encountered the risen Christ. You've never invited him into your life. Or maybe this is all a new story to you and you've realized today is the day. Pray with me like this. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord and my Savior, and I receive him into my life, his forgiveness, his powerful Holy Spirit. I seize my destiny today by faith in Jesus Christ. Change everything, Heavenly Father.